You are listening to Living for the Cinema with Jeff Gershon. I am a cinema enthusiast of all genres, here to discuss with you one film every episode. The good, the bad, and the ugly of what makes each film unique. Spoiler alert. No matter when this film was released, there's a good possibility I will be revealing spoilers about the plot or even possibly the ending. So just be warned. John Wick Chapter 4, which came out in 2023 and was directed by Chad Stahelski. It stars Keanu Reeves, Donnie Yen, Bill Skarsgård, Ian McShane, Lawrence Fishburne, Hiroyuki Sanada, Shamir Anderson, Rina Sawayama, Scott Adkins, and Lance Reddick. The genre would be action epic.
This hit goes out to you, Mr. Wick.
Woke up this morning.
42 regular, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And so it begins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Living in this time behind enemy lines, so I got mine, I hope you
challenge him to single combat.
If you win, you'll have your freedom.
And when I see you, I'ma take what I want, so
amen.
Step up on your ego.
Come on.
The only way John Wick will ever have freedom and peace is in death.
Yeah, not really.
You got yourself a gun.
John Wick Chapter 4 is the ultimate incarnation of video game as movie, with a dizzying array of characters, locations, set pieces, newly discovered weapons, big bosses, power-ups, apparent cheat codes, and more NPCs than you could swing a nunchuck at. It runs a blisteringly paced 160 minutes, with enough standout action sequences to fill out three or four movies, and barely enough plot to sustain one. The body count is astoundingly high, and yet it maintains its humanity with several winning performances, plus a surprising ending which lands just perfectly. On paper, this movie just should not work nearly as well as it does. Over the past several years, with movies like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, to The Batman, to Midsommar, to The Irishman, to that latest Avatar, it has been a major sticking point for me to see every studio and a variety of super talented filmmakers just struggle to pull off relatively straightforward genre movies within reasonable runtimes. It's been disappointing to even witness living legends like Scorsese or Cameron weakening the impact of their stories by just being unwilling to make any hard choices when it comes to editing. And even though that seems to be the case here with director Chad Stahelski, it's actually hard for me to fault him because everything moves in this movie and is incredibly well choreographed and looks just amazing. The artistry is up there on the screen every moment, from an extended sword battle in Osaka to an extended dance club gunfight in Berlin. And from a physical acting standpoint, Keanu Reeves, he's clearly giving it his all. He's charismatic as always, as the titular John Wick, though from a pure character slash acting performance standpoint, he just isn't given that much to do. I mean, there is an emotional through line here for his character, and it leads to an effective ending, but pretty much all of that emotion is derived from what we have seen him experience in previous sequels. Mainly the first movie.
When Ellen died, I lost everything. Until that dog arrived on my doorstep. A final gift from my wife. In that moment, I received some semblance of hope. An opportunity to grieve unalone. And your son took that from me.
Stole that from me. Killed that from me! People keep asking if I'm back, and I haven't really had an answer. But now, yeah, I'm thinking I'm back!
And that's probably why, for me, this film did drag a bit in the middle. Despite some impressive choreography and stunt work featured during that Berlin sequence, and martial arts extraordinaire Scott Adkins as an oversized Eastern European goon who's threatening Wick.
So, you want to kill him? You want to kill him? I want to kill him.
What about you, Mr. Wick?
I'm going to kill you.
Oh, for better, of course, yeah. But it looks like we have ourselves a A genuine conundrum. A quandary, if you will. A real-life dilemma. So, I thought we play a game. One hand. The winner decides who lives and who does not.
Yep, Atkins is actually hamming it up under gobs of Dick Tracy villain-like makeup, and it works. As does the rest of the supporting cast, including strong performances from genre veterans Hiroyuki Sanada and Clancy Brown with prominent roles. A strong return from Ian McShane as Winston, the head of the ill-fated Continental Hotel, and the return of a key character who I'll get to in just a bit. The true standouts of the cast are each technically antagonists. Pennywise, up-and-comer, he played Pennywise in the It movies, Bill Skarsgård, as the elegantly venal Marquis, who is head of the High Table and determined to take down John Wick.
You come here thinking there is a way out of this world for you, Mr. Wick. There is not. The Centre Pompidou.
Sacré-Cœur.
Sacré-Cœur. Weapons.
If you win, the table will honor its word. You will have your freedom. But you won't take it. Blades.
Pistols.
Dueling pistols. 30 paces. In the event that both parties survive, each will approach the other at increments of 10 paces until only one remains.
Along with two other hitmen hired by him to do the dirty work, Kane and Mr. Nobody. Mr. Nobody is played by Canadian relative newcomer Shamir Anderson, who is just a kick to watch as a generally laid-back but effectively lethal tracker whose dog proves to be an invaluable partner. Yep, every Wick movie needs to have one standout canine performance, right? And is played by the legendary Donnie Yen, his blind assassin Kane proves to be the true heart of the movie.
Saying goodbyes?
Saying hello.
You think your wife can hear you?
No.
Then why bother?
Maybe I'm wrong.
You're going to die.
We are introduced early on to the daughter who he is determined to protect, which actually provides his character with the highest emotional stakes in this particular story. Besides delivering the expected series of blisteringly fast and fluid moves to every one of his fight scenes, I mean, he is a master. Yen is also adept at bringing a droll wit to the proceedings, especially the exasperated way with which he helps John Wick fight through an army of small goons during an extended bone-crunching outdoor sequence on a stairway in Paris during the third act. And speaking of that third act, it takes place entirely in Paris and pretty much saves the movie. I mean, if I'm being honest, there was a point around roughly 100 minutes into the movie when I actually found myself thinking, okay, that's great. That's all great. But this is dragging. Where's this thing going? And then Stahelski kicks off the final act in Paris with a framing device which directly homages The Warriors. Yes, previous episode, The Warriors. And then at that point, I was gleefully on board again. I mean, Chad Stahelski knows his audience, clearly, as the last hour of this movie comprises four distinct set pieces, which are not only gloriously entertaining, but adeptly build on each other. It's truly bravura top-of-the-line blockbuster filmmaking, not pulled off this exquisitely since Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, what a day! What a lovely day!
Overall, this movie is a bit unwieldy, but for all action blockbusters to come, the bar has truly been raised. Which brings me to the categories. The first category would be the best needle drop. This is the best song cue or piece of score used throughout the runtime of the film, because music is essential to film. Now, regarding that framing device from The Warriors, we do hear a DJ suddenly providing slightly coded running commentary on the action. And of course, that brings up some obvious questions. I mean, one, here in 2023, are folks in Paris still listening to terrestrial radio? And if so, how can we be sure that so many assassins from the secret society are actually tuning in? Beyond that, why would a local station in Paris be broadcasting in English? And another question, and if it's not standard radio, is this just a live stream being fed to only the society of assassins? And if so, would they really be actively listening to it while out on assignment attempting to kill a $20 million target like John Wick? Well, no matter, because it's a very cool beat to add to this portion of the movie. It kind of even ups the stakes a bit. And the first song that we hear from this DJ, well, it's yet another cover of the seminal 1965 pop song from Martha and the Vandellas, Nowhere to Run. We hear it over a pretty dazzling, and I mean dazzling, action sequence taking place around the Arc de Triomphe in Paris, which I'll get to in just a bit. This version of the song is probably a bit folksier, but still nice. It's performed by up-and-coming LA-based singer-songwriter Lola Colette. And beyond that, I do appreciate that we once again hear a reprise of the original official John Wick theme music by composer Tyler Bates, who returns to score this film after doing the previous three. We hear this theme throughout the movie, in various forms too, including one incorporating acoustic guitar at some key dramatic points. And this brings me to the next category, which would be wasted talent. This is the most underutilized talent involved with the film. Now, the fourth chapter of the John Wick saga also sees the return of Sharon, the witty and debonair main desk concierge of the Continental Hotel in New York City. He's played by Lance Reddick, who sadly just unexpectedly passed away last month at the age of 60. Just such an unexpected loss, as Reddick was certainly one of our most charming, charismatic character actors, who most rose to prominence around 20 years ago with his recurring role as Cedric Daniels on HBO's show The Wire. And he has also been a great fixture in the John Wick movies, definitely among my favorite characters in this franchise. Likely most prominently when we were introduced to him in the first movie, and when we actually get to see him get in on the action in Chapter 3. And sadly, he's just kind of underused in this latest sequel. I mean, I'm sure that was not the intention of the filmmakers, nor could they have known that he would pass away shortly before the release. I mean, wow. He was on the press tour doing interviews for this movie just 2 weeks ago, as of the recording of this episode. So pretty sudden. But yeah, unfortunately his character gets killed off relatively early in the movie, though at least not before seeing him deliver one more grace note. Just a shame. And I might be wrong here, but I had heard that there was some kind of tribute to him at the end of the movie. If there was, though, I missed it, disappointingly. But regardless, Mr. Reddick is a unique talent who will be missed. Rest in peace, Lance, and may your business always be conducted on continental grounds.
Good evening, Mr. Wick.
Good evening.
How may I be of service?
He's a doctor. And...
Yes, sir. 24/7.
Send him up, please.
Yes, sir.
How good's your laundry?
I'm sorry to say that no one's that good.
No, I thought not.
May I suggest a drink, sir? Bourbon, perhaps.
That sounds perfect.
The next category would be the trailer moment. This is the scene or moment that best describes this movie. Now back to that final hour taking place in Paris. It is wall-to-wall action, and impressive action at that. And as far as I'm concerned, there are two standout set pieces, which actually are back-to-back. One, a fluidly executed car chase slash bumper car brawl situated on the roundabout around the Arc de Triomphe, which just has to be seen to be believed. I mean, so many literal moving parts, including stuntmen, moving vehicles, and a dog. It's akin to the pileup climax of the Blues Brothers, blended with one of the third act gonzo brawls from Matrix Reloaded, but even more impressive than both scenes. And number two, just as we could not imagine Stahelski possibly topping himself any further, well, he does this with an extended one-shot set piece set inside a nearby mansion following John Wick both evading and taking out rival assassins with a new incendiary weapon known as the Dragon's Breath, I believe. All this is shot from directly overhead, taking us from room to room, clearly separated by walls that we could only kind of see the outlines of. And all of this is presented to us with the sort of crisp precision that you would expect from, well, you guessed it, a well-made video game. Each of these sequences alone are just worth the price of admission. They're that good. Which brings me to the final category, and that would be the MVP, the person or people who are most responsible for the success of this film. Now, the obvious choice for most would likely be Keanu, and I love Keanu. And I get as to why his presence and appeal is, of course, a critical driver for the success of this franchise. But make no mistake, this is a director's movie, and I have to tip my cap to Chad Stahelski for orchestrating so much well-choreographed chaos on a roughly $90 million budget. Now, it's already well known that Stahelski is a former stuntman slash stunt coordinator who also served as the stunt double for Reeves during the original Matrix trilogy. As the director of each of these four John Wick films, he has clearly brought that mindset and acumen to the table. I mean, it's all up there on the screen at this time. And not only is he getting the best possible work from seasoned on-screen martial arts performers like Reeves, Donnie Yen, and Scott Adkins, but just for this film, he adeptly manages a crew of around 35 stunt performers, some of whom we actually see die 20 times on screen even. Yes, much of this might feel akin to a video game. And much of the action does reach ridiculous heights at times, including for our main character, who I'm fairly confident would have died several times over in real life. Well before the conclusion of this movie, as a result of being hit by moving cars probably around a half dozen times, when he wasn't tumbling down more than 40 to 50 concrete steps in one key scene. Regardless, almost everything we are seeing on screen is shot in camera, and it feels real. So real at times that it kind of actually feels inspired. Inspired at times akin to the legendary on-screen physical hijinks seen around 100 years ago by the likes of Buster Keaton. For directing one of the most deliriously entertaining action films of recent years, Chad Stahelski is the MVP.
And it's not about the act, it's the prep, the shoot action, it's the lead up, it's all the stuff that goes into the shooting. Shooting, it's very easy. It's like, watch John Wick, everyone says I'm an action guy. Watch the shots. It's a long dolly shot. You know how easy that is to set up? The hard part is making it all work in front of that lens and not messing up. Like, that's the hard part.
My rating for John Wick Chapter 4 would be 4.5 stars out of 5. I remain an avid fan of this franchise, and certainly consider this movie to be a worthy final entry. Not as good as the first, definitely better than the third one, and probably on par with Chapter 2. Maybe even a tad better, just based on sheer spectacle and the more satisfying ending for this fourth entry. Now, the length is an issue, but there are still no shortage of banger sequences which make this film worthy of being seen on the biggest screen possible. And of course, if you're looking to watch John Wick Chapter 4, it is now playing in theaters. And that ends another bone-crunching review. Special shout-out to my lovely wife Marlene Gershon for producing this podcast, and to my lovely daughter Ella Gershon for assisting in the editing. Please like, subscribe, and share the Living for the Cinema podcast, and follow and like us on Facebook, Instagram, and Letterboxd. And join us next time for another review from Living for the Cinema.